Rory, tudo bem? This is Michael McDonald, and we have news about Brazil again. Olá a todos, estamos de volta com News About Brazil. My name is Michael McDonald, and I'm so happy to be here again. Yahoo, we're back, ready to go, and this is our 15th episode. It's going to be exciting, and I can't wait. Thank you, Leah Drummond, and all of you people who listen. Well, whenever we're here, we had a small break. It's exciting. Today, I'd like to let you know why we were gone for a little while. I was moving, and we all have things that happen in life, and life happened to me. But one of the most important things I wanted to discuss with you is, men, get your mental health in check. It can be deadly, it can just be a dark place, and it can be something that seems like you're never going to come out of. Fortunately, I have a lot of people around me who check on me and make sure that I'm okay, and so that's why I'm here again, still. But there are links at the end of the episode in on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And please, if you know someone or you yourself are having a problem, it's important to get it checked out. Men tend to think that we're invincible. We don't need to ask anybody, even us gay boys who are seen as not quite as manly, but we're still men and we still don't want to be seen as weak. And it's far from weak. It's actually the most powerful thing you can do for yourself. I can attest to this. I'm back and I'm stronger than ever for the moment, but it's a lot of work and thanks for listening to that. But the real reason we're here is for this amazing podcast that Leah Drummond has given to us. So I'm going to keep on going and start with the amazing Anne Dominique Carreira, working as a correspondent for Le Monde in Rio de Janeiro. On February the 4th of this year, 2024, titled Bolsonaro Family Under Investigation for Political Espionage in Brazil. She writes, the Supreme Federal Court suspects the former president's youngest son, Carlos Bolsonaro, of having set up a clandestine espionage network within the intelligence services designed to monitor hundreds of political opponents with spyware. In the early hours of Monday, January 29th, two armored federal police cars were discreetly parked outside Jair Bolsonaro's vacation home in Mambucaba, a seaside resort 150 kilometers from Rio de Janeiro, where the far-right former president was staying with three of his sons. Surprised by the cameras of the Globo television channel, the agents carried out a series of searches targeting the youngest member of the family, Carlos Bolsonaro, a Rio de Janeiro councillor. In addition to Mambucaba, police also searched his main home and his office at the municipal assembly. Two cell phones and a computer were seized. The Supreme Federal Court suspects him of having been part of a clandestine spying network allegedly set up with the intelligence service ABIN under the presidential administration of Jair Bolsonaro, who served from 2018 until 2022, to monitor hundreds of political opponents using Israeli spy software First Mile. Acquired in 2017 under the government of Michel Temer from 2016 until 2018, this digital tool enables people to be geolocated using their cell phone numbers by exploiting security loopholes in the telecommunications network. It would therefore have enabled intelligence services to bypass the judicial authorization required by law to monitor individuals using confidential data transmitted by telephone operators on their customers. According to the Supreme Federal Court, Carlos Bolsonaro, who managed his father's social media communications during his presidency, is alleged to have used information illegally collected by ABIN to create misleading media campaigns against his political opponents. He allegedly also used them to prepare the defense of his brothers, Jair Hainan and Flavio Bolsonaro, in several corruption investigations. The full list of people targeted by First Mile has yet to be revealed, but according to information made public by the Federal Supreme Court, several of its judges are among the victims, including Alexandre de Moraes, Rodrigo Maia, the president of the Chamber of Deputies between 2016 and 2021, and Camilo Santana, former governor of the state of Ceará from 2015 until 2022, the current Minister of Education under President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Investigators also suspect that the software was used to monitor Simone Sibiliu, the Rio de Janeiro state prosecutor who, between 2018 and 2021, investigated the March 14, 2018 murder of Marielle Franco, a Rio de Janeiro city councilor. Not yet formally targeted by the investigation, Jair Bolsonaro denied the existence of a parallel structure in the intelligence services to CNN Brazil. "I've never received the slightest information about anyone's whereabouts," the former president assured CNN the day after the searches targeting his son, accusing Lula's government of carrying out political persecution against him. Jair Bolsonaro's intelligence chief, Alexandre Kumagem, was also searched on January 25th, took the same line of defense. In an interview on the Global Channel, he accused the Supreme Federal Court investigation of seeking to make him abandon his Liberal Party, Jair Bolsonaro's party, candidacy for mayor of Rio de Janeiro in October of 2024. "They, those in power, don't want the right to win mayoral cases," he said. Reflections of the North America, maybe?
I like that.
The Bolsonaro clan's defense is hardly credible, said Rafael Zanata, lawyer and director of the Data Privacy Brazil organization, which fights for the protection of private data. According to this expert, the discovery of First Mile's disappointment is just the tip of the iceberg of a larger problem. Under Bolsonaro's government, numerous spyware programs were acquired by the intelligence services and the army, claimed Zanata. According to the study by SFE's Law and Technology Research Institution between 2019 and 2022, the amount spent on the purchase of piracy software by the federal state rose from 7 million reais, 1.3 million euros, to 55 million reais, 10.3 million euros. "We don't know what the software is being used for," said Zanata. Moreover, Bolsonaro's government also undermined the professionalism of the intelligence services, said Guilherme, Paexo e Quesources, a political scientist at Getúlio Vargas Foundation in Sao Paulo. He used the pretext that the institutions were occupied by communists to justify appointing many of his personal friends, particularly from the army, to key intelligence service posts. The day after the searches targeting Carlos Bolsonaro, Lula decided to part company with some of them. On January 30th, the president dismissed Alessandro Moretti, who was then deputy director of ABIN and had held a position in the federal police under Bolsonaro's government. The Supreme Federal Court suspects him of having attempted to obstruct investigations into ABIN's illicit use of First Mile. Six other senior officials of the institution were also dismissed. In a departure from the figures closely chosen by his predecessor, Lula announced that the new number two at ABIN will be an academic figure, Marco Aurelio Cepec, professor of political science at the Federal University of Rio Grande do Sul in Porto Alegre. The political scientist has already promised that he will undertake a restructuring of the intelligence system to end its subordination to the president. "There will be no Lula ABIN," he promised. "The institutions of the Republic are going to be functional again." Again, I can't help but draw the parallels here, folks, between what's happening right now currently in the United States with Donald Trump and this whole, it's just like a fairy tale double book. I'm not sure. And I'm sure Leah Drummond is trying to kill me with the pronunciations on these.
Oh, hell no!
So I'll just let her decide if they are acceptable. And if not, I'll get the record scratched. She'll let me know how to pronounce it next time. So, shall we move on?
Oh, God, yes.
We're going to take due next Jonathan Watts on January the 25th. In great work for The Guardian, the title saying, "Optimism dries up in Amazon as Lula drifts from climate priorities." Brazil's president inspired hope a year ago, but approval of a new highway shows he remains concrete and oil state builder. What a difference a year makes in the Brazilian Amazon. At the start of 2023, I wrote about the green shoots of the rainy season and feeling of hope inspired by the new president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, who promised to strengthen indigenous rights and aim for zero deforestation. 12 months on, both the vegetation and political optimism are drying up. The most severe drought in living memory has finally been broken, but the rains are late and weak compared with previous years. The Xingu River is far lower than normal for January. The pulse of the forest is also fainter. The new vegetation does not push out as far as into the roads as it did last January. The neighboring cattle pasture is faring even worse. The forage grasses, known as kapim, were so severely burned that they have not grown back, leaving the hillsides brown and the cows emaciated. Several of the poor skeletal beasts have escaped their fields and wandered towards our community in search of food. Local people say that more than a dozen cows have died of starvation at this one ranch and countless others elsewhere. Less obvious, but in many ways more worrying, is the death of leafcutter ants. These large mandibled insects are usually everywhere, slicing and carrying vegetation in columns to create fungal gardens in their nests, which spread out over dozens of meters in Wadiesque towers and mounds. Entomologists say these ants have the second most complex societies on Earth after humans, and they are the dominant herbivores in the South American tropics, trimming about a sixth of all the leaves produced in the forest. This simulates new plant growth and enriches the soil. Not for nothing, but these ants have been described as ecosystem engineers. Interesting. Each day, I pass three big nests of leafcutters on my daily walk with the dogs. Just over a year ago, I ventured too close during the annual Reveillada, when the winged females set out on their nuptial flights, followed by clouds of males. It is a sensitive time for the insects, and soldier ants were in fiercely protective mode. I was driven away with my foot bloodied and me howling with pain. Despite this, I've never ceased to admire these tiny, powerful creatures, so I was dismayed to discover that all four nests are apparently lifeless. The mounds appeared deflated. There was no newly excavated soil at the entrances, and not a single leafcutter ant to be seen. This is bizarre, as a healthy colony can have 3.5 million members, and they never previously stopped working. Entomologists tell me that they may have relocated or have been wiped out by a prolonged dry season. It's an alarming reminder that the weakening of forest resilience takes many forms, and the impact of the drought remains incalculable. Human-caused global heating and deforestation are parching the forest, and not just over the last year. Scientists have found that the Amazonian dry season is getting hotter, drier, and longer. 50 years ago, it lasted 4 months. Now it's 5. This is causing a dieback of trees and other species that are being pushed beyond their survival thresholds. An ecosystem-wide collapse that would turn the Amazon into a savanna draws even closer. Lula knows this. In a speech at COP28 in Dubai last November, he told the world he was shocked that the region's rivers, which are the greatest freshwater source in the world, are at their lowest level for more than 120 years. He said this was a global climate problem and called on other countries to make a greater effort. Even if we do not cut down any more trees, the Amazon could reach its point of no return if other countries do not do their part. But his own government efforts to protect the forest and its people have been mixed. A first-year report card for Lula would show progress compared with the low benchmark set by the previous far-right administration of Jair Bolsonaro, but also failed promises, political weakness, and worrying signs of regression. First, the all-important good news. Deforestation in the Amazon has slowed by about 50% over the past years. For the first time since 2018, the clearance rate was less than 10,000 square kilometers in the 12 months until the 31st of July. Still more encouraging, the loss of tree cover in indigenous territories fell by 73%. The bad news is that, even with this deceleration, on average close to 1 million trees are being chopped down or burned every day in the Amazon. Countless more died because of the drought, and this will still worsen the degradation of the forest. Overall, there is no doubt the Amazon finished 2023 in a worse condition than it started. Though, sadly, it's been the case for every year in the past half century. Ooh, sorry, got a little emotional there. There are other causes for concern. The Amazon's southern neighbor, the Cerrado Savannah, suffered the largest devastation since 2016 as a result of the expansion of soy plantations and cattle ranching. This repeats the public relations ruse of earlier Lula administrations, which reduced deforestation in the globally center stage Amazon, while giving a green light to destruction of the important but lesser known Cerrado. It's a similar story for indigenous rights. Lula was a true pioneer in creating a separate ministry for this, and his government has recognized 6 new territories which numerous studies have shown is the most cost-effective way of conserving forest and sequestering carbon. Yet, he has been outmaneuvered by a hostile Congress, which has passed a new law known as Marco Temporo to limit indigenous land approval. This not only challenged the president's authority. A year ago, Lula faced down an attempted coup by Bolsonaro supporters, including elements of the police. The army sat on the fence, which was hardly a vote of confidence. Since then, the military has neglected to support the government's efforts to remove thousands of illegal gold miners from Yanomami territory. As a result, the Lula administration has lost control over those lands and failed to alleviate a humanitarian disaster. Although the government spent 200 million hei, 155 million pounds, on mobilized 2,000 healthcare workers to the region, 308 Yanomami died from preventable diseases, which between January and November. Little different from the toll during Bolsonaro's last year in office. Meanwhile, a new and still greater threat is emerging in the shape of a paved highway through the heart of Western Amazon. The planned BR-319 upgrade from Manaus to Porto Velho would devastate one of the last great, relatively undisturbed areas of the rainforest because roads have always been precursors to illegal logging, mining, land clearance, and invasions of indigenous lands. The project has been resisted for many years on the basis of expert scientific advice. But last month, lawmakers, with the support of construction and agribusiness lobbies, passed a bill to dilute environmental licensing requirements for the road, which they have declared a priority infrastructure necessary for national security. Lula has effectively given the go-ahead by setting up a BR-3019 working group and sidelining the environmental ministry in the process. In a remarkable example of Orwellian newspeak, his transport minister, Reina Filho, says the project will build the most sustainable and greenest highway on the planet. He's also seeking project financing from the $1.2 billion Amazon Fund, which was set up by Norway with the additional commitments from Britain, Germany, and the U.S. to reduce deforestation and promote sustainability. The BR-319 is a flagrant contradiction of those goals. Making such a request makes a mockery of the International Fund and the Brazilian government's environmental credibility. It's a bad joke, not least because one of the goals of the new road is to facilitate oil and gas exploration deep inside the forest, in addition to the existing exploitation near the mouth of the Amazon. It is the same short-sighted race to cash in on petroleum that is seen in the US, the UK, Canada, Russia, Norway, and other petrol-producing nations. Lula cannot seem to decide what kind of leader he wants to be. To a global audience, he speaks of the modern need for climate action and promises zero deforestation. But to his domestic electorate, he remains an old-fashioned concrete and oil state builder. Compared with just last year, there is no doubt he is drifting, or being pushed, even further away from science and indigenous rights, and even closer to business and capitalist extravisitum. Given Lula's weak political position and ideological instincts, it is not hard to understand why. But as a response to record droughts and increasingly deadly weather events, it seems more like a surrender than a compromise. In the Amazon, the climate crisis is hitting hard. As welcome as the slowdown in deforestation has been, it's not enough, and even this is threatened by new roads and oil projects, and the political drift continues. It will not just be the trees, the cows, and the ants that start to die off. Ooh, that's pretty, wow. Ooh, I need a moment here. Once again, so sorry for the pronunciations, but Leah will take care of it and I will do it. All right, let's do something fun and celebrate Brazil and those who have been born there and made a name for themselves. I'm talking about Portuguese-born Brazilian samba singer, dancer, Broadway actress, and film star who was active from the late 1920s onwards named Carmen Miranda, the Brazilian bombshell. She was known for her signature fruit hat outfit and she wore in her American films. As a young woman, she designed hats in a boutique before making her first recording with composer Josué de Barros in 1929. Her 1930 recording of Tai, Pra Você Gostar de Mim, written by Gilbert de Carvajal, Cadwell just heard a stardom in Brazil as the foremost interpreter of samba. Carmen Miranda, birth name Maria do Carmel Miranda de Cunha, from February the 9th, 1909 to August the 5th of 1955. On August the 9th, she would have turned 115 years old. We all love her. She was just a symbol of fun and love and just everything that was exotic to us here in America. And with all the craziness going on in the world, I thought we might need a little bit of samba and fun and fruit hats in our lives. So thank you for listening to this episode. If you'd like to know more about any of these topics, all of the links will be in the bottom of the episode on your favorite app. And don't forget to subscribe, send us a message, let us know anything you'd like to mention, other topics you'd like to cover. Would you like to stump the gringo and send me a phrase that maybe, hey, I probably can't pronounce, but it'll make your day with a little humor. So we have lots to do. I also have another podcast named Backroom Chatter. It's changing directions too, but is going to be coming back bigger and better than ever. We'll give you a link to that in the description as well at the end of the episode on your favorite app, so that you can check up the two episodes that we've done so far, and we will continue. If you have any suggestions for that, I would love it. I'd like to thank Leah Drummond for inviting me here. I would also like to thank all of the wonderful journalists who have been able to allow us to do this podcast. And with that, I will see you soon. Ciao. Thank you for welcoming me back, and congratulations, Leah Drummond. 15 episodes, that's a great accomplishment. We'll see you next time.